Today on The Breakdown, it's a cash game hand. We're playing 100-200 with a $200 big blind ante. It's from the Hustler Casino Live. And it's players who I don't think we've ever had on the show before. It makes it sound like they're in studio. They're not. But JR, Stanley Choi, play a fascinating hand of poker. And it was suggested by Leo. I'm stepping on Grant here. I'm not supposed to say this, but it was suggested by Leo Chen. Great job, Leo. And I'm not even going to do an exotic opening this time. It's very meta up in here. And we're going to the breakdown with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
Hey. What the hell just happened?
I thought you would have loved that. It's so fast.
It's just, why did you name the suggester in the opening? That never happens.
I think it's literally the first time ever. And we've done this for, is it 8 years now?
Yeah.
8 years, 2 episodes a week, almost every week for at least 6 years now, something like that. It's at least 2 episodes a week. Never name the suggester in the opening ever. It, you know, that's part of my charm. I shoot from the hip.
Yeah.
Anything's possible with me.
You're like Brett Favre.
I'm like Brett Favre.
In every way. JR, we've done JR before.
We have?
Yeah, I think he was one of the main players in a hand that we did where he ended up having to call Wesley. The first time we saw Wesley, the crypto kid who claims to be one of the top 10 crypto guys in the world.
Crypto apprentice.
Yeah. When Wesley started the hand super short, he had Queen Jack and Jared King 9, and Jared ended up with 2 pair, and Wesley ended up with the nuts in like a 4-way pot. It's the one where like Dr. whatever, some guy.
Dr. Eli?
No, a different guy. Some guy who we'd never seen before. Just flatted ace queen out of the small blind.
He was terrible.
He had like
22K. he put in like 7,000 and like 14 back or something like that.
I think JR was Wesley's antagonist in that hand.
Well, here's the things I know about JR, and I don't know any of the things you just said because I didn't remember that, and I still don't remember that. You could very well be right, but I looked him up on TrackingPoker.com, which is a website that up until June of this year was tracking the Hustler Casino Live players and how they were doing while they were on stream.
Well, we're, at the time of this recording, at least 2 months off of their tracking.
Right, so, but this is what I know about him.
Okay.
So he had played 5 sessions that they tracked. He was down $238,000 in those sessions. One of the 5 was a winning session, plus $68,000. The rest clearly were not. So that doesn't mean he's a losing player, necessarily, of course. Doesn't have to mean that. But that's a tiny bit of data that we have.
It is. Something he does in his hand makes me think he knows a few things about poker.
Yep.
So, who knows?
Who knows?
It's a very small sample size. It's probably, 30 hours or something of poker.
Yeah, something like that.
It's not a great sample size.
I agree completely. I didn't say it was anything more than what it was.
Yeah.
I'm not waving a flag over here, okay? I'm just showing the numbers and letting people do what they want.
Showing the numbers is waving a flag.
What?
And you would know that if you knew anything.
How would showing numbers be waving a flag?
The fact that you're asking me this now is embarrassing for you.
Yeah, it's embarrassing for me. I'm embarrassed that I'm in this show with you. So you're right.
I
turned it around.
It's getting worse.
This is how you hurt people. This is how you do it. You take their words and you stab them in the neck with it till they bleed out, and you look at their eyes as they bleed out and you own.
Okay. Jonathan's coming from a dark place today, I suppose.
Yeah, I saw that movie.
Do you know anything about Stanley Choi, who is JR's principal opponent in the hand?
I do not. Stanley Choi, I don't think I'd ever seen him before this hand when it was suggested. So do with that what you will.
I haven't seen him in this hand before either.
Yep.
So JR makes me think of J.R.R. Tolkien, of course.
Okay, I mean, obviously it's not who you would think of with JR, but whatever.
You think of JRB?
No, it's either JR Reed, the basketball player from way back
when. JR Ryder, perhaps.
I mean, how about JR from Dallas? Who shot JR? Obviously. Larry Hagman? Hello. It was a big show in the 80s.
Well, anyway, I'm thinking about Lord of the Rings, because JRR Tolkien.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all.
Maybe he could write more boring books. I don't know.
So you have very low hopes for the Amazon series that's about to come out?
Sure.
It's like a $1 billion series.
Yeah. So that does not mean it would be interesting to me. But it doesn't have to be bad or boring. Peter Jackson makes boring movies. That's right. I said it. I don't care.
You're offending a large portion of the audience right now. The people who love those movies are really into them.
Still, LOTR people, they're super into them.
They're not the same as Disney adults, but they're close.
I just think those movies are boring, and that's it. I wanted to like Peter Jackson movies. I've seen at least four of them. I find them all boring. I'm sorry. I didn't see any of the Hobbit movies, which I know are boring.
Wait, don't see the Hobbit movies.
Right.
Those are terrible.
But I saw King Kong, and I saw the three Lord of the Rings movies. I like the second Lord of the Rings movie, and that's it.
Yeah, that one's pretty good.
The rest of them, honestly, I've only seen them all once and would never see them again, I think. Because, man, sorry.
I don't know
not everyone feels that way. That's okay. I'm not saying it's a fact. It's just true for me.
I don't know anything about the new series. Is it a different story? Are they?
Yeah. It's like 200 years before or something like
okay,
that.
So it's like a game,
maybe even 4,000 years before. It's a prequel thing, and it's a different story entirely, yes, which is great.
Yeah.
And of course, it's not by Peter Jackson, although they talked to Peter Jackson a little bit and then they ghosted him. Maybe because they're like, oh shit, if we let him do it, you know, poor Jonathan.
We can't do that.
I'm certainly going to check it out, you know.
Yeah.
But that's it.
That's that.
I know Neil Gaiman said the first episode was amazing.
Oh, he got
it. On Twitter. Yeah, he got to see it early and he was like blown away by it and was really excited about it. But is he just like, you know, saying nice things because he's got a show on Netflix and wants people to say nice things back? It's like professional courtesy, or is this real?
It's possible, but a potential analogy is George R.R. Martin saying the first episode of House of the Dragon was really good, and you could say, oh, he has a lot of incentive to
yes,
say that.
He does.
But then both of us, we were just talking before the show, that we both saw the first episode and really enjoyed it.
Oh, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
So,
despite how Game of Thrones ended, it's not like they're all going to be shitty forever, I guess.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see how it is, but you know, I'm not super excited about the Rings of Power thing. I'll tell you that, personally.
Yeah, I'm not like, really either.
I'm like, really? You spent $1 billion on a fantasy series? Congrats. Like, sounds like a bad move. That's my immediate take on it. Like, just make more of the boys. Like, come on.
I mean, I'd rather they do a diversity of things and create more content.
Is this a diversity of things? A Lord of the Rings prequel series?
It's different than The Boys.
Yeah, is it different than The Wheel of Time or whatever, which they just put out?
That's a different fantasy series.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
So they're not supposed to make any fantasy series now?
I feel like they've already made their fantasy series, yeah.
This is stupid. This is a bad take.
I don't even care. I don't care about any of it.
So if if Netflix already has a sci-fi series, which I'm sure they do.
Obviously, I don't mean any of these things.
Do you think Netflix should not make Three Body Problem now?
Well, it's embarrassing that you are taking this seriously in any way.
So I'm not ever supposed to take you as
We're not going to be friends anymore because, in fact, I'm going to go so far as to say we never were friends.
You probably said that at least 15 times on this podcast.
No, I wouldn't say that to you.
It felt like
it was supposed to hurt more than it seemed
it
to.
Why would it hurt?
Because you're supposed to be like, really? Really? I didn't.
So your own comment ended up hurting you because of my reaction to it.
Why aren't you more upset about me saying we were never friends?
I thought it was
It's true. Like you didn't care, ever.
Well, I thought it was true.
Yeah. You thought it was true that we were never friends?
Yeah. We're colleagues.
We're acquaintances. We're work acquaintances.
Yeah, I mean, like, we work together. Don't make it weird. You know, there's, like, all these terrible life pro tips on Reddit that you come across every once in a while, and every week or so somebody says, remember, your work friends aren't your real friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're competing with them.
That, and also you don't want to like reveal something about your life that makes it awkward at the office or something like that.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. Reddit is a cesspool of reposts and I hate it. Anyway, unrelated.
Wow.
Anyway, so that's what it is. My work friends aren't my real friends. Like, it's nice to have a coworker who I can have a nice chat with when I'm at work.
Yeah.
And, you know, work includes playing poker. So those are the contexts in which I see you for the most part. And, of course, we sports bet when we watch sports.
Yeah.
And that's work for me. I'm really good at that. I make money doing that.
Right.
So, yeah, it's nice to, like, have somebody who's, like, not terrible to be around. But I can't really let you in, you know, because the vault is closed to the work people. Maybe if we had met in a different context, but we met in a work context.
We met in a poker context.
And that closes off, like, 70% of the vault.
So when I'm at your home.
Yeah.
Playing with your daughter,
working,
hanging out with you and your
babysitting
wife, also
on your
all of us
second
are there.
Job.
Yeah. So how is that still a work thing for you?
Well, that's a potential to make sports bets, which I have a huge edge over you in.
I see.
Yeah. So that's work for me.
So you're like pretending to be friendly, and just giving yourself more opportunity to like for us to make a bet.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm getting from this is I jokingly said I was never friends with you.
Uh-huh.
And you're telling me you sincerely have never been friends with me.
Well, I thought this podcast was a safe space for honesty. So I decided to be honest. Yeah.
If you thought it was a safe space for honesty, why did you wait 8 years to be honest?
Never came up before.
You just said, I've said to you 15 times that we weren't friends.
Well, that was ever. Just hyperbole. I didn't mean that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was just saying, I don't think I've ever said that to you before.
No, why would you say that?
That's so mean.
Because you don't think that. Because you think we're real friends.
It can be hard to know who's your friend, can't it?
For you? Yes, apparently so.
Yeah, for me.
What percentage of the audience thinks I'm being genuine?
More than zero.
Yeah.
More than 5%?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Big time.
More than 20%? No.
I think 20% is a good line.
I'm going to go less. I'm going to take the under and say it's 12%. All
right, we'll get the numbers in a couple days. It's another sports bet I'm going to win against you.
Yeah, what kind of odds do you want?
I'll give you 3-1.
Okay, done. Yeah. Done. Yeah, whatever the numbers are, it's fine. 3-1. I got to do it. Yeah. Hey, you know, here's a quick story about, it's not a sports bet, but about a bet. So me and Matt Matros, you guys know.
Friend of the podcast, triple bracelet winner, Matt Matros.
He's been on the show a few times. And another friend of ours, Billy Gazes, who used, in the old days, was like on poker TV a lot. You know,
yeah, back in the boom days.
Yeah, so me and him, the three of us were on some, I don't know if it was a poker trip or a hanging out trip or something, but it was something like that.
It was probably a work trip, and they probably think of you just as a work friend.
Right. So we started talking about if there were bets you would have to take no matter what, right? And so Matros and I said to Gazes, you know, if you're getting $1 billion to 1 on something, you should probably take it no matter what.
Like, depends on what the unit of one is. And
oh, sure. But like, if you can bet any amount you want, you're getting $1 billion to 1. Yeah. So you can bet a penny, you know,
yeah,
and get $1 billion to 1. That means you get $10 million when you're right and you lose a penny when you're wrong. It almost doesn't matter what the bet is. You should probably take it, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we said. And Gazes started saying, that's really stupid, and got very upset. Not upset, like...
Got upset.
Upset is a little strong. He got intense about it, is more than upset. He wasn't, like, crying or anything, but he was like, no, you guys are... That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. You wouldn't take $1 billion to 1 on anything. We're like, yeah, I think we would. Like, why not? Why is that... What's the problem there? And so we... So at one point, we were, like, somewhere in New York, and he says, you're going to... I'll give you $1 billion to 1 right now that we're not in Russia. And I was like, Billy, I will take that bet if you're offering it. I will 100% take that bet.
Yeah, what if for a second Billy Gazes is having like a mini stroke and like you are in Russia and you're both having a mini stroke? Like there's $1 billion to 1 chance of that.
What if Russia's, you know, suddenly annexes New York? Yeah. And I don't know. What if we find out later that the maps are all wrong? It's very unlikely, but I could put up a penny and win $10 million, right?
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't I take that bet? Of course I would. Also, it's a great story. It's more than worth a penny.
If you can always account for the potential of some sort of fugue state for any participant in the bet, then which is always a possibility, right? Fugue state might not be the right terminology, but you know,
delusion.
Some sort of brain activity that's causing an issue that untethers you from reality.
Yeah.
That makes any bet $1 billion to 1 worth it.
I think that's right. If he said, I bet you $1 billion to 1 that we're alive right now, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, sure. And that's like lasts forever, right?
Yeah.
Like, so I mean, obviously, once we die, that's off. But like, that our current state is that we're alive. Yeah, I'd love to make that bet,
right?
Because like, sometimes we're dead, and money still exists in the whatever realm we're in now. And you now owe me $10 million or $1 billion or whatever, you know, a billion of times whatever I put up. So I don't remember why I told that story anymore. But it was about betting and betting with friends and stuff like that. So here's another really quick story about Billy Gazes and betting. So I may have told the story before on this. I'm not sure, but we're watching the Super Bowl, and Billy is a big bettor. Like, Billy doesn't make small bets. So Billy made a bunch of bets on the Super Bowl, including putting up $50,000 to win $5,000 that there's no safety in the game.
Yikes!
Yeah, he's done the research on this.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a
like,
good bet.
It's a good bet, but like, holy shit, right? He's made a bunch of bets, but this is the biggest bet he's made. So it's the Steelers against the Cardinals. This is like 2009 or something, 2008. And the Steelers have the ball on their own 1 yard line. Ben Roethlisberger goes back to pass. He's in the end zone. By the way, if you get tackled in the end zone, that's a safety, and then Billy would lose. Just so
or if you get called for intentional grounding.
Right.
Or if there's or holding.
Any a penalty. Yeah, yeah, a holding in the thing too, right? So Arizona's like coming at Ben Roethlisberger, and he's in trouble. Like, and he might get sacked. If he gets sacked, Billy's going to lose his $50,000. And Ben, like, somehow, like, evades, like, two guys who have him dead to rights, you know, and gets the ball off and, like, throws it, and it's incomplete. And it's, like, a miracle that he's not sacked in the end zone. And Billy, like, can't believe he didn't lose right there. And we're all like, holy shit, Billy, that was incredible. Now it's third down. Yeah. Roethlisberger gets the ball, he goes back to pass again. The Arizona defenders are coming at him like banshees. But Ben like fights one off a little bit and gets off like a 45-yard pass and completes it. And it's like they're at midfield and they're like safe now. And it's like an incredible play. They're like, Billy, oh my God, again, you almost lost 50K. And he's like, woo. And then there's like the little sign of the little flag, the little yellow flag, and there was holding in the end zone, and it's a safety, and Billy loses the 50,000. And so Billy is now going through the moment where he understands that. Yeah. And we're all just watching in silence, sort of like scared silence, because it's such a crazy thing. And except for our one friend, Simon, who is by far the poorest of everyone, like doesn't have a job, never had a job, lives with his parents, only eats French fries because they're cheap. Like literally the poorest guy who like is still doing fine that I knew at that point. And he just starts cackling because he thinks it's so funny that Billy's lost 50,000. And that really happened.
Wow.
Yeah, that was an incredible moment.
Was the rest of the game kind of somber?
No. Billy ended up breaking even on the whole game because he bet on a bunch of other stuff and most of the other stuff came in. Actually, I think that was the one big one that he lost. And so he ended up miraculously breaking even. Yeah.
Wow.
But holy shit, what a moment.
That's a rough moment.
Yeah.
That's a really rough moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good times. Good times. It's incredible.
That's a perfect pivot, speaking of football, to a football opportunity for betting for all of you.
Yeah, a free roll.
This is a free roll. This is a serious free roll. It's one of the better free rolls that has come across my desk in my lifetime.
Wow.
Nitro Betting is offering a free survivor pool, and they are paying out a decent chunk of cash, Jonathan.
Yes, they are, Grant.
Tell them about it.
Well, they're putting up, I believe it's 50 millibits. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
That does sound right. 50 millibits, which these days, I haven't looked at the price of Bitcoin today, but it's something along the lines of $1,100, right? And it's a survivor pool, and it's only for people who are in this particular pool right now with the poker guys. So all you have to do is send us your ID.
Nitro Betting.
Thank you. Nitro Betting.
ID number. Not your handle, but your ID number that they assigned you, not the thing that you chose as your name.
It's like a 6 or 7 digit number. Or
yeah.
Something
it might even be a 4 digit number in some cases.
Oh, okay. Because it's new. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, your Nitro Betting ID number. All you have to do is send us that and then you're going to be in. And then you get to participate in this thing. It's an NFL Survivor Pool. Look that up if you don't know what it is. It's easy to participate in.
It's a fun thing to do. It gives you a sweat each week in the games.
There's no cost to you of any kind, and it's winner take all. So someone's going to win, you know, $1,100, $1,200 worth of Bitcoin. It's amazing that they're doing it. It's incredible.
It's an incredible payout, and it's not going to be like thousands of people in this pool. It might be 100. There might be fewer. I don't know how many people are going to end up in this thing. Your expected value on this, even if you're a complete fish, doesn't matter because it's a free roll, is pretty good.
You really have to do it. And if you have to have signed up through our link to be a Nitro Betting person. But that's, by the way, if you've already signed up for some of this, you can sign up through our link anyway and create a new account.
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone, but geez, it's so easy. All you need is an email and a password, and bam, you've got a new account.
Yep.
You can make a new account, do this, and never think about it again. It's a free roll. It's a great spot.
Seriously, great spot. I will definitely be playing.
Oh, yeah.
Send that to us either on Twitter or Discord. There's a link to Discord in the description. There's a link to our Nitro Betting link in the description. And our Twitter is the Poker Guys.
By the way, I want to be clear. I'm not encouraging people to multi-account this thing. They have forensic accounting, and they will catch you. Don't do that.
Do not multi-account the Survivor Pool.
Yeah, please. Please, come on.
A very bad idea.
Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, you got to send us your ID anyway, so.
Yeah, send us the ID number. Get in on, like, I think the best expected value free roll that we've had to offer on this podcast ever.
The only time I think it was better was when they accidentally put up a Bitcoin in
when they made a huge mistake. And
yeah, there were only back like when 60 people playing.
When Bitcoin was not worth as much, but still it was like, it was,
Bitcoin was worth, I think, 10,000 though at that point.
No, I think it was like 4,500.
No, because I came in second and ended up with thousands of dollars worth of Bitcoin. I remember that.
Okay.
So like, I got like 2 or 3K worth of Bitcoin.
Huh. Yeah. And they were supposed to put up 100 millibits.
So maybe Bitcoin's worth like 8 or 9K.
Yeah.
But whatever, they actually put up a whole Bitcoin instead, and we all got to play for it.
And
it
they didn't retract it because they're, you know, legit. They're like, oh, we made the mistake, and the tournament already started, so.
It was actually before the tournament started. It was like 2 minutes beforehand they realized it and still left it up there. It was a great deal. And as someone who came in second, I was very happy about that.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. That might have been better, but that was based on a mistake.
Yeah, yeah. This is a great spot.
Yeah. Maybe they'll make a mistake and make it 500 millibits. Who knows?
I mean, not totally impossible.
Yeah, so that's not the ad, but that's something that's related to football that we felt like should be in front of you. It's important because you only have a few days left to sign up. You got to get it, yeah. get your info to us by the end of August.
Right on.
And the sooner the better because, you know, we're sending them the people's numbers every day.
Yeah, yeah. I would say don't wait because if you miss out on this, like, too bad. Just yeah. do it right now while you're thinking about it. Yeah. Like, don't wait at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Let's get to the hand.
Okay.
Leo Chen suggested it, but you already knew that because you listened to the opening.
Leo Chen!
He did it on Discord. As I mentioned, there's a Discord link in the description of this podcast. You can do a lot of stuff on Discord. Suggesting hands is the most productive thing you can do for the sake of this podcast, but it's also the least fun thing you can do on Discord. Because there's a lot of other cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's poker talk, there's sports talk, there's shoot the shit. There's threads for each individual hand. It's a great place to be in the digital space. And I can't say that for many digital spaces, you know? A lot of toxic spaces out there, but... We're pure.
We actually are pretty pure these days.
Yeah.
Hasn't been toxic in a long time.
Yeah.
Got cleaned up.
Nice, clean, no dead seals or anything. Nothing toxic.
That made a lot of sense. Let's get into
when the water is toxic and the seals.
I understand. The seals die from but still, it was pretty bad.
So
it was pretty unprofessional and bad. You wouldn't make it without me.
I might downgrade you from work friend to just colleague.
Yeah, I think you already did.
No, you're my work friend.
Oh.
But you're not my friend. You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get it. No, I've come to peace with it already. Yeah. I've gone through all the five stages.
Okay. Great. What was bargaining? What happened during that stage?
I offered you money.
Well, I don't remember this. I would have accepted.
Oh. Oh, I did. I forgot to bargain. How much do you need for me to be your friend?
500 bucks should do it.
500 bucks?
Dollars.
I'll give you some 500 lev bucks, you dummy.
See, this is the problem with you.
You fucking idiot. Now I'm your friend.
I can't do anything about it. All right.
Okay.
It's a cash game.
Yeah.
It's super deep, high stakes cash game. $100, $200 with $200 big blind ante. JR is going to open the action. He has $167,000 in front of him. Guess what? He doesn't have the most in the hand because Garrett's going to enter the hand and he has to have the table covered by $1 billion
sure.
at all times. But 167K at $200 big blind, that's a significant amount of big blinds.
It's like over 800 blinds.
Yes.
Yeah. Or sorry, 8,000 blinds. No, 800 blinds. 800 blinds. Still, that's a crazy amount.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, we had a Hustler Casino live hand that hasn't come out yet, actually, but there is a bet of 800 blinds in the hand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these games get whack. All right, JR has lost 250K on the show. According to Jonathan's research,
238
as of June, but you know, he might be good anyway. We'll find out. He has 167K. He opens to 600 under the gun with ace king off, ace of diamonds, king of spades.
Okay.
I guess people just don't adjust to the ante for sizing.
I mean, if you don't have to, that's fine. Like if making it 800, you get all the same amount of callers as you would for 600, or 1,000 gets you the same callers, which you might in these games. You know, the guys who are calling.
Yeah.
I think so. Maybe it's fine. It might be fine anyway.
It's interesting because we've been seeing this in the high stakes games for a while now, but it doesn't move down the stakes, at least not in my experience. I've been playing a lot of cash recently, 1-2, 5-5, 1-3 games, and like the opens are like usually between 4 and 7x, and that's normal opens.
I would say I usually 4x in the small games, and sometimes 4x, and I'm usually the smallest, the smallest size of everyone,
right.
No matter which game I'm in. Sometimes it's the same, but usually people are. Higher than that.
Yeah.
And sometimes a lot higher.
And and that's not just like, it's like the players in the player pool who are like the air quote good players. They're doing the big sizing too. It's not like, nobody's 2.5xing in these games.
Right. Nobody's, nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Rarely do you see a 3x.
And there's no ante or anything.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting how that works.
But you know, in these smaller games, people call a crazy amount.
Right.
So you want to charge them for, like, there's no reason, like you should just be, you know, pounding them in submission.
No, I think 2.5xing in these smaller games is a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's interesting the way that goes, but that's how it is. JR makes it 600 with ace king.
Yep.
Stanley Choi, who we know nothing about, has $97,400 in front of him. He is plus three with ace six of spades. He makes the call. We're deep enough. You have a potential nut flush draw. It's fine.
Absolutely fine.
Yeah. Garrett Adelstein on the button has $316,000 at the $200 big blind.
Okay. So he does have more than 1,000. He's got 1,500 blinds and change.
Yeah.
Whew.
If you're going to bet 800 blinds at some point, you need to have more than 800.
That's true. Well, he does.
Yeah. He's got 10-8 of clubs. He's going to make the call on the button.
Not surprising.
Mike A in the big blind has a paltry 25K. It's actually pretty short. You know, it's I guess a lot of online, like when you play online poker, you're usually playing 100 blinds effective when you buy in, but that's not the case in most live settings. Maybe I've heard of some places in like LA where it's like a 1-2 with a $100 max buy. That sounds horrible.
Yeah, there's some of those kinds of games, but obviously into the bigger games, it's always, yeah. You know, there's often no cap as we see someone like Garrett can buy in for any amount he wants.
Yeah. 25K, big blind. Yeah. Makes the call with 7-deuce off. What do you think? I mean, he's getting a great price. But
I mean, if they're not playing the 7-deuce game, this is absurd.
Yeah.
This is horrible and absurd, and of course he shouldn't do it.
Right. I mean, he's calling 400 to win 2,300.
Don't care.
That's not good enough with 7-deuce off. Like, especially if you're not deep. You have to be...
Even if you're deep, you can't do it hand. Because, like, what good things... If you don't make quads, like, if you don't make the nuts with this hand, and it's very hard to make the nuts that isn't quads, essentially.
I mean, when you only have... You know, 110 blinds or whatever, trips is probably, or two pair is probably good enough to go with in a lot of cases.
Okay, that's fair. But I'm saying, like, when you're a lot deeper, if you don't make quads, like, with this hand, like, you can't really make the nuts.
Yeah.
So, like, what the fuck? What are we doing here? Yeah, this is an awful hand. Of course, he shouldn't call with it. I don't care if it's only $400 more. Keep the 400, you know? Buy yourself a really nice shaver.
Okay.
Really nice shaver.
Yeah, I think we're at a point of diminishing returns for shavers there, and you're more buying like a Mont Blanc shaver for the brand or something.
You obviously haven't had a really nice shave. That's okay. You're still young.
What do you got?
What do I have?
What do you use to shave?
I have a Gillette One Blade.
How much did that cost?
It's like $30.
Okay. So you didn't get the $400 one?
Are you kidding?
Anyway, Mike is going to, you know, remain unshaved and he's going to call.
Okay, fine.
With 7-deuce off.
This is why you play in these games, though. Guys like Mike call with 7-deuce off here. They're just throwing $400 into the pot for no... It's a splash pot for $400.
This is an extremely small mistake compared to a lot of the mistakes that get made in these types of games.
Of course they are, but that's the point, right?
Yeah.
It's full of huge mistakes. It's incredible. Anyway, let's go.
Pot is $2,700.
Cool.
The flop is ace of clubs, deuce of spades, six of diamonds.
Row. Yeah, that's pretty bad for JR.
Yeah, JR flops top. Stanley Choi flops ace six for two pair. He has ace of spades, six of spades. He also has the backdoor nut flush draw. It's a deuce of spades.
This is a hell of a flop.
This is about as good as a flop can be for ace six without it being like 666, you know?
Or, you know, maybe spade for the nuts. But sure, this is a hell of a flop.
It's pretty damn nice.
Yeah. This is the kind of flop where we often make a lot of money, too, because... We can be up against ace-king, and they can't just fold.
All right, Mike A is going to check his 7-deuce. He did flop bottom pair.
Yep. Good job, Mike.
JR is going to bet. Now, do you think we've reached a threshold of players in JR's spot where if JR had something like king-queen of, let's say, diamonds, diamonds for one backdoor, would that be a bet as the preflop opener and the guy most likely to have a set of aces and ace-king?
That's a good question because we're four-handed.
Yeah.
Feels like it's too many to bet. That's my initial thought. Three-handed, I think we can bet king-queen of diamonds. Four-handed just feels like, do we have fold equity? Because if we don't, what the fuck are we doing?
Right.
Like, I know once in a while we pick up a card we can barrel on the turn. Guess what? We miss a lot on the river anyway. Are we really going to just triple barrel a lot with king-queen of diamonds? No, we're not.
Does it change your mind at all if he has king-queen of clubs where he would have the nut club draw if a club came because the ace is a club?
It makes it a little bit better. I don't think it matters that much.
And you think King Queen of Hearts is an obvious check because it has no backdoor draw besides the Broadway draw?
I mean, I think they're all...
There's a sneeze right there.
Yeah, it felt good. I think they're all checks, though, four-handed. I just want to check it.
Like, I agree.
It's okay to check fold this hand. Like, it's fine. Or check call, depending on the size of the bet and the action in front of us.
So your strategy here would be to be relatively face-up with your betting. Like, you're going to have at least an ace for value... Or I guess there's not really any reasonable draws you could have.
Yeah.
So you basically have at least an ace.
Yeah, I think so. We're four-handed. Like, we don't have to be all bluffy and stuff like that. We're not supposed to win the pot that often.
Right.
We don't have to act like it's ours. It's not.
So how do you want to size it? 2,700. Do you want to bet ace-king?
Oh, yes. Ace-king for sure. On this board, especially, like, it's so hard for someone to have us. They can have pocket sixes, pocket deuces, and the occasional suited ace. That's like it, right?
Yeah.
I guess Mike in the big blind can actually have... Other two can have aces up two pairs, not just the suited
and
ones.
Apparently six deuce also.
Apparently.
Yeah.
But still, we have to bet this hand. Like, we're just going to give everyone a free card. That's insane.
Yep.
That's insane. We have the best hand a lot here. We can't just give everyone a free card.
I think it's sizing.
Okay, so there's 2,700 in there. This is a board that is good for us. It's dry. We don't have to bet that big. We're folding out almost all non-aces anyway. I think we can bet like $1,200. That's my initial hit.
Yeah, I think the whole discussion that led us here makes me want to bet bigger than I first thought.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was thinking, like, we don't really have bluffs, right? There's not too many reasonable bluffs. The most reasonable bluff being King X of clubs.
Yes, that's right.
Maybe we include that in our range.
I guess we have to if we don't have bluffs otherwise. We need to have a little bit of bluffs.
Well, let's
so
assume
maybe we do.
For
four or five suited with the backdoor maybe as a bluff too, but there's few combos of those things.
Let's assume that in practice we don't really have bluffs, perhaps.
I mean, even if we want to give ourselves all the King, Queen suited that are backdoors and all the four or five suited that are backdoors, that's six combos.
Yeah.
So that's still essentially no bluffs compared to the Ace Kings, the Ace Queens, the pocket aces,
right.
Ace Jack suited of the world.
And, okay, so I think we don't have to worry about the bluffs too much then when creating a thought process for how we want to size this. And if we think it's going to be a binary decision from weaker aces...
Yeah, we do.
I think I like a bigger size.
Interesting. Fair enough. That makes sense.
This is just pure exploit. This is not a GTO thought at all.
Right.
But, like, why not make it 2K if Ace Jack and Ace 10 are going to call no matter what?
Yeah, that's true. I think they are. And I think like 4-5, if we bet tiny, is going to call. And if we bet big, may find a fold, which isn't so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't mind getting called by 4-5, but when they improve, when they get there,
it's hard
we
to
can't see.
See
it, and we're gonna lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I don't mind pricing them out or at least forcing them to make a mistake if they're going to call, as opposed to making it cheap enough where we're deep enough where they're like, hell yeah, I'm calling, trying to spike this gutter. So that I kind of like that. Sizing up here makes sense.
But from a game theory perspective, I understand why JR bets 900 in a 2700.
It's a massive range advantage board for him.
Yeah. This is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
This is what the solvers want you to do.
This enables you to bluff more if you're betting so little, right? So maybe you do need to have more bluffs than we're saying. Maybe it's other all the other suited Broadway.
Any two backdoor hand, basically.
I think you probably, that's, you know, how else are we going to get bluffs?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I guess that is what we're doing.
Yeah, we bet any two backdoor hand.
Yeah.
Queen 10 of diamonds.
If in practice we're really not doing that, though, then sizing up makes sense.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, he bets 900.
Okay.
What do you want to do is Stanley Choi? You flop top two, the under-the-gun guy who doesn't have to bet into four players is betting into three players.
I don't see why we wouldn't raise right now. Like,
because we expect that he's got at least a reasonable ace most of the time.
He has calls almost certainly with almost his entire range when he bets.
Like, most of it.
I don't even, like, is he going to, let's say he has King, Queen of clubs here. He bets 900. We make it 3,000. We're 130 some X, some odd
He's
K effective.
He might
here.
Fold. He might.
He might, but it's not automatic, right?
Yeah.
So, like, even his bluffs may consider calling, let alone his value. I don't see how he can fold yet. I think we should attack it right now.
Okay.
Do you agree?
I mostly do, especially with the big blind in there who could have a lot of weird types of hands that could sneak up on us.
Yeah, that's a great point. We're also four-handed. We've got two guys behind us, right? Garrett and the big blind. Why let them see cheap hands? Like, if Garrett has ace-10, like, why give him three free outs? Like, why not charge him for it at least, you know? It's not the end of the world to give him three free outs, of course, but the more people you're up against, the less equity you have. And this is our pot right now, like, almost always. Like, I just don't know why we wouldn't raise.
Yeah, well, Stanley doesn't, and I guess one potential reason could be that it looks incredibly strong
it
to
does.
Raise. It's really hard not to look like you have a complete monster.
Super strong. It's true.
Yeah.
But, of course, if some people are going to go folding ace-king to a raise here, then you should raise a lot in this spot, right? Like when they bet into four players. Of course, you got guys behind you, but how can they call without at least two pair?
I don't think JR is going to fold ace-king. I think the fear would be that he folds a hand like ace-10 suited.
Right.
You know?
He probably calls once, though, with any top pair hand.
Yeah, you'd think he does.
Because you feel like if I'm up against two pair even, I have outs. If I'm up against ace deuce, I can hit a six or a 10.
Yeah.
If I'm up against, well, you figure you can't be up against six deuce suited, like, but from Stanley Choi. Ace six, I've got three outs. There are other cards that come that could scare him and slow down action, a king, queen kind of thing. Now, if he's got a set, none of those things are true. But also, you know, as a poker player, that, like, unless you're up against a very tight, very careful player, you just can't go folding top to one raise. You just can't do it. Because also, people overvalue their hands, as you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about Stanley Choi. Maybe he's the kind of guy who's going to overvalue his hand, too.
Raise ace-queen, you mean?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
People absolutely do that. Or any ace.
Yeah.
I've seen people raise any ace and put a lot of money in with any ace in these spots.
Yeah.
So if we know he's super tight and super careful, we might be able to bet fold. Otherwise, we just have to bet call and not think much about it. It's like, this is a hand we call with.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with your points, and I think raising is the superior play.
Yeah.
I think he's just afraid that it looks too strong, and he doesn't want to look that strong.
Well, when we raise later, it's going to look strong, too.
Yes.
Because right? we're going to want the point is to raise later if we don't raise now most of the time anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, it's always going to look strong. But, of course, you get more money in. Against ace-king, we really might get another bet. Of course, we're going to get that bet now. Yeah. I don't know. I like raising right now, but I understand.
Yep.
It's going to work out great for him because the other two guys don't really have anything, so they're probably going to fold, right? So at least he, this is the other good thing about raising is we get to knock out that equity. Which we don't. Turns out those guys probably aren't sticking around.
Well, Garrett isn't, but Mike A does call with bottom pair.
Okay. Is that good? I guess that's good. He's got two outs.
Doesn't. Well, two outs, yeah.
Yeah. Any deuce is good. I guess that's fine for us, right?
Yeah.
If he hits a deuce, it's going to cost us a lot of money.
What do you think about Mike A calling here?
At least he's closing the action and it's cheap, right?
There,
it's there's 1,800, so it's 4,500. It's 900 to win 45. We know we're not good right now.
Yeah.
We believe very strongly if we hit a deuce, we're almost always good.
Yeah.
Unless the action shows us otherwise.
We'll probably think we're good if we hit a 7-2 and we wouldn't be.
That's a great point. I think it's okay to call here. I don't love it. I don't think you should be in this hand. I would probably fold here, actually, now that I think about it, because I'm worried about... I mean, we can be up against a set from either player, especially JR.
Yep.
And so now we're just drawing effectively dead.
Yep.
We need to go running quads. I mean, what the fuck? So, or I guess running sevens, we could beat a set of sixes. But, like, come on. So I just want to fold and not get myself in all the trouble. There isn't that much money in the pot. I think he should fold. I've come around on
this. Yeah, I agree.
He's also not deep anyway.
Yeah.
Like, he can't win a huge pot. He's only got 24K in front of him. Like, what the fuck? Fold.
Well,
this guy does not fold, though.
He calls.
This is why the game is good.
The game is good on Nitro Betting.
Nitro Betting!
We talked about the Survivor Pool.
Yeah.
You should get in there for that alone. But of course, there's other benefits to joining Nitro Betting using the link in the description of this podcast.
There are casino games. There is sports betting. There is poker.
And you get access to the monthly Poker Guys tournament if you use the link. You want that? Of course, using the link gets you access to all the promotions that Nitro Betting does in the future as well for us, which includes stuff like this amazing Survivor Pool.
Yep.
So it's quite foolish not to use the link if you're going to sign up.
You're a fool and a pauper.
Yeah, you're like one of the extras in a Monty Python, you know, some sort of idiot in the street. That's you.
Yeah, or a lot of the Game of Thrones scenes when they're in, like, the streets.
Yeah, King's Landing, one of the dirty people. The dirty folk in
There's
the street.
There's so many of them.
Yeah, that's you. Unless you use the link.
Yeah.
Then you're like King Joffrey. Congratulations.
Cruel, but living really
Really
well.
Rich.
Oh, man.
Well, you think you're rich, but, you know, you're not really it's rich.
Whatever. Like, yeah, you live like a king.
Yeah,
you are a king and you live like a king. It's good enough. Who cares if you're rich?
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what they say? Like, if you owe the bank $1 million, it's your problem. If you owe the bank $40 million, it's their problem.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's you. Sign up for Nitro Betting using the link in the description. We'll see you there for all the great stuff.
Sounds good.
All right.
Back to the hand.
Turn is the 8 of diamonds, ace of clubs, deuce of spades, 6 of diamonds, 8 of diamonds. Mike A has nothing with his 7 deuce except for bottom pair. Top for JR under the gun. And Stanley Choi has ace 6 for aces up.
Yep.
Mike A checks. Good. Cool.
Of course. Well, actually, not of course. It's actually interesting to check here, right? We could bet to try and get called by one of those slightly weaker aces again.
If no, we think Mike A is the guy with 7 deuce.
Oh, Mike A. I'm sorry. I was thinking it was JR. My mistake.
Yeah. But JR does bet.
That seems fine.
You want to bet?
I don't hate it. Well, look. Mike's in the hand. Mike is calling with... If Mike has an ace, he's probably calling all turns.
Yeah.
I think we should absolutely bet to get value out of Mike. I don't know what Stanley's going to do one way or the other, but Mike is loose enough. If he's got top pair, there's no way he's folding the turn, right? No chance.
JR bets pretty big. He bets 4,200 into 5,400.
Yep.
I think that's pretty interesting.
He's doing your classic turn size up thing. Like,
yep, he is. I mean, it's a second club that doesn't usually play a big factor.
Second diamond, actually.
Second diamond, excuse me. That does mean that there could be an ace-x hand with diamonds.
Well, he has the ace of diamonds in his hand.
There cannot be an ace-x hand with diamonds.
So that's not a worry.
That makes me want to bet smaller, actually.
Yeah. Get value. Make sure ace-10 doesn't fold, kind of a thing. Like, if Stanley has ace-10 and you bet big with Mike behind him, he can find a fold with ace-10.
I think you're supposed to fold. When JR bets 4,200 under the gun, I think ace-10 is like an auto fold unless JR is Rocky.
With Mike behind you, especially, it's like... I mean, if Stanley has ace-queen, he probably has to call because now he's near the top of his range. But ace-10, I agree with you, in this spot is a fold.
So I think I would prefer a smaller sizing from JR here.
Yeah.
I think I want a bigger size on the flop and a smaller size on the turn from JR.
He could bet 3,000
and
probably get called by those reasonable... Like, ace-jack probably feels like it has to call for 3,000.
It may not. It might be thinking in a binary way as well.
Yeah.
Which is partially why I like the bigger sizing on the flop. Because, like, if you're going to think binary in both spots, you might as well put the money in more when they're going to do the calling instead of the folding.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, JR bets 4,200.
Okay.
It's not going to work out great because he's losing.
He's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Do you want to raise now with Stanley now that we've gotten here this way? We're still
that
three ways.
Eight shouldn't matter very often, right? Like, it's hard to believe JR has ace eight.
Or 8-8.
8-8 feels impossible. Ace eight is tough, but not impossible. But there's only, it's the eight of diamonds. There's actually no suited combos left, I think, of that. Right? Because it's the eight of diamonds. So ace eight of diamonds is out. The ace of clubs is already on there. The ace. No, there's one combo of ace eight suited. That's it.
Ace eight of hearts.
Yep.
Yep.
So that's nothing to be afraid of, I would say. We block sets of aces and sets of sixes. 8-8 feels impossible. Deuce, deuce, I guess. But like, I think we're supposed to raise.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're supposed to raise. Like, are we going to get called if we raise?
Actually, I think I like calling the more we talk about it. Because JR bet's so big. He bet 42 into 54.
We're going to take it down here a lot.
We are. And JR is almost over-repping his hand with ace-king. Like, not quite, but almost. And
I don't think he's over-repping. I don't think that's
maybe
fair.
Not, but I think the size of the bet is enough to produce the equity denial from the third player in the hand that
right.
So we don't need to generate that because that's already been generated.
Right. Like if Mike A doesn't have two pair, he's probably folding now anyway. And
yeah.
If he does, he's probably not folding either way and may even raise, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Like we're losing to Mike A's ace eight and deuce deuce, but like
yeah.
We're obviously paying off fucking Mike A.
Right.
Also, he doesn't even have that much money in front of him comparatively, so whatever.
I think I like calling better and
I think
letting the river play out. Like I think we never raise the river if JR bets again, bets big. I don't think there's any
right.
raising unless we hit a six. I don't think we can even raise an ace necessarily. Maybe we can raise an ace.
Really?
I mean,
one combo of ace eight.
Yeah, maybe we can raise an ace.
We probably can raise it because he could have ace king and be betting and feel like he has to call.
Yeah, but we could always bet when check too.
Oh, and, yeah, we're in position.
And if JR bets small, we can consider raising depending on the card. If it's a Broadway card, probably not. But if it's a low card.
I think you're right. I think we're supposed to call here. Like even Mike... What's Mike got that we have to be afraid of? I mean, I guess there's three outs for maybe both of them.
He could have any of the sets that are... Mike?
Mike is usually raising on the flop.
Oh, Mike. I thought you were talking about JR.
Yeah. Mike can raise on the flop with the set. He can have ace eight exactly. I mean, the thing that we do is like, if we assume they both have like ace 10, ace king, which is reasonable, right? Something like that. That's six outs we're giving a shot at.
Yeah.
But we can play carefully on the river and... It's only six outs. Like we're a monster favorite and we're in position. I think you're right. There's not much to be afraid of here. I think we're supposed to just call. Like give Mike a chance to stick around, not scare JR off, get value from JR on the river most of the time.
Yeah.
And don't raise the river if we don't want to. Like if he bets too much or if it's a scary card, that's fine. If a queen comes on the river and he bets big again, we should only call.
Yeah.
Right? If he bets tiny, we can raise. That's fine.
If any Broadway card comes, I think we should not raise regardless of sizing unless it's like notably small.
I mean,
I think if any low card comes, we can go sizing based.
I would assume if a jack or a 10 or a queen comes, JR is not going to bet very big, though, because those are the hands after Stanley calls this time that he's going to be putting him on most of the time.
Right, but if he bets 40% of pot on the river, I don't think a raise is profitable with a six.
You could be right.
Yeah.
That's fair.
If he bets 10% of pot, we can think about it.
Yeah. You know? 20% even, I think we should probably raise.
Right.
Okay.
So I like a call.
I think I do, too. I think everyone's hand is pretty well defined, and we're doing great, and we're often getting folds if we raise right now. I think a call is in order.
Well, Stanley goes with a path less traveled and does not raise big, but does not call. He raises to 9K. It's almost a min raise.
It's a weird, weird sizing.
So it's interesting. I think I have a problem with everything that Stanley and JR have done post-flop so far.
Yeah.
Minor problems in most cases, but... I think JR should have bet bigger on the flop. I think JR should have bet smaller on the turn. I think Stanley should have raised the flop. I think Stanley should have called the turn.
I mean, if you're going to raise, this feels like the worst raise size, too.
Yeah, we should make it like 12K at least.
Yeah, like this is so weird to make it 9K.
It looks incredibly strong.
I agree.
Now, it could just be a classic free check down play. You know, the like... I get to, like, I'm not saying that's what he's doing with A6, but it could look like that.
Oh, okay.
It could look like he's trying to get, like,
with Ace Jack or something.
Check, check on the river type of thing.
Yeah, make it cheaper for himself. I guess that's true. It depends what we know about Stanley. Like, that's very player dependent for sure.
Yeah. But in that Stanley has one of the better hands he can show up with here, I would really prefer a bigger size to hope to get value from a hero call or a call that's kind of mandatory from Ace King, which feels uncomfortable, but at least. feels like it might have to call based on distribution.
Yeah.
Now, I prefer a call to all of this stuff. I think Stanley should call instead of that. But he makes a 9K, and that just feels strange.
Yeah. I don't like that. I don't like Stanley's choices so far.
Anyway, Mike A. folds.
Good.
Good, he's out of there.
JR.
Can't fold for 4,800 here, right? I mean, it looks kind of scary, but also, if you don't know anything about Stanley, and I don't know what level of knowledge these players have of each other, you could be up against, like, the free showdown play, and you can't fold against a player capable of that play.
We're getting a reasonable price anyway. It's almost 20,000 in the pot, and it's 4,800 to call. So we're getting 4-1 right now. We probably shouldn't fold yet, even just to, like, we spike a winner sometimes, even when we're losing right now sometimes, right? Like, it's problematic. We have the ace of diamonds in our hand, which, boy, we don't like having.
Right.
Because, although I don't know if Stanley would really raise top pair, nut flush draw on the turn, but some people would.
Some people would.
So, especially actually with this sizing, it actually makes sense to do it with this sizing, right? Where you get the free showdown, except when you hit the diamond, then you can bet big, and you've inflated the pot.
That's actually the type of hand that would be great to do the free showdown play with.
If you're going to do it. Yeah. That's kind of a cool one, yeah. Except probably not really, right? Because it probably plays even better as just like...
I mean, if you have to pick a hand to do the free showdown play with.
That's a cool
one. We're not a fan of the free showdown play.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, in general, very much not. Okay. So we are getting a good price. Let me ask you a question. How often do we think Stanley's bluffing when we have the ace of diamonds in our hand?
I mean, it's really hard for him to have any other diamond combo, right?
So, almost impossible, I would argue.
Yeah. So
4 or 5 of diamonds, maybe? Which turns double gutted into... Okay, that's a magic turn card for him, 4 or 5 of diamonds.
Yes.
Now he's got double gutted and a flush draw out of nowhere.
All right, so that's a possibility.
There's one combo. We did it. We found one combo. Anything else? I got nothing else.
Could 3, 4 of diamonds be in there? 4 or 5 of diamonds could be in there? I mean, you turn the diamond still.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I think it's possible.
And that means 3, 5 could probably be in there too.
Fine. Let's pretend there's 3 combos.
Yeah.
What about all the value?
Yeah, all
there's
the value.
There's so much more value.
Sets of deuces, sets of sixes, ace six, ace eight, ace deuce.
Yep.
They all make perfect sense.
Yep. He clearly isn't always raising his hands on the
bluff. So I think even with this price, in order to make this call, as JR, we have to know that Stanley is capable of the free showdown play.
Right. If we think he's essentially only got those 3 bluffs and everything else is value, like actual value that's beating us, we should just throw our hand away right now. Yeah. We don't have enough equity to hang in there, right?
Yeah.
And in fact, we don't. Like, no. We can hit 6 cards. We have 6 outs here. Yep. It's not enough. Even at this 4-1 price, that's not good enough.
Yep. So JR calls, and distribution-wise, that makes sense. I think we're high enough. Well, probably.
We have the ace of diamonds in our hand. It messes up the distribution a little
bit.
That's
true.
Still, we're probably still supposed to call. Let me ask you this. What hands are we betting on the turn that are worse than ace-king?
We can probably bet ace-queen.
Yep. I think if we had king-queen of diamonds, which we bet on the flop, we could, or Broadway of diamonds, which had the 2 back doors, which we bet on the flop, we're going to bet the turn.
Yeah.
Those are easy calls, though.
Yeah.
So we're always calling those. So ace-queen we can fold. So maybe ace king is then the next worst hand, but that's a lot of our hand. Like, okay, we have ace ace, and maybe we have 6-6, and maybe even deuce deuce, but ace king's a lot.
Yeah.
And ace queen is a lot of hands we're folding now, too. So maybe we're supposed to call ace king anyway, getting this level of price. I think if you're just doing GTO, we have to call.
I think if we're just doing GTO, we have to call. But I think from an exploit perspective, unless Stanley has the free showdown play,
we have to fold.
We have to fold.
Yeah, we're beat way too often here.
Yeah.
And as we see, we're beat.
So JR calls.
Yeah.
It's interesting because when I watched this hand, I didn't really think about any of these things that JR did as things I would dislike. But now that we actually talk it through, I'm like, I kind of don't like anything he's done. There's like a little problem with a lot of them.
Yeah, I agree.
But they're all so minor. These are all mistakes in my mind, but they're all very minor mistakes.
But like, think about Garrett. If Garrett was playing this hand, my guess is... he would do some of these things differently. Maybe he wouldn't agree with us on everything that we think he should be doing instead in terms of some of the sizing stuff. Because actually, I liked your points about going bigger on the flop and smaller on the turn. But I can't imagine he would bet call this turn very often anyway against this player unless he knows something about this player that we don't. Now, all we've seen is this one hand with Stanley, so there's a lot we don't know.
Right.
But if Stanley's not spewy, Stanley's like not very bluffy on the turn, and mostly they're not very bluffy on the turn, especially 3 ways on this kind of a board. I think Garrett probably just finds a fold a lot here.
And I want to be clear about something because this is from the analyst perspective, the armchair perspective that I'm criticizing JR's plays and minor mistakes here. I think there's a really good chance you could find tape of me, if there was tape of me playing poker, making all of these same decisions, except for potentially the call on the turn. I think that's the biggest mistake. I might actually find that in real time a fold.
I think it would depend on what you thought of the player. If the player's an unknown, it's a little tougher, and maybe you find, maybe decide 4-1.
Yeah.
Also, honestly, being on the stream, you don't want it, people to think they can just pick you off so easily. You might feel obligated to call at least this part of the bet. So that may be a reason. That's a reason to call.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's possible I would have made all the same decisions as JR. Just want to make that clear.
Cool.
And say like, but I do see a problem with every one of them post-flop.
Yeah.
Anyway, JR makes the call. The pot is $23,400. So JR has ace-king on the ace of clubs, deuce of spades, six of diamonds, eight of diamonds board. On that same board, two pair for Stanley Choi with ace-six of spades. The river is the jack of diamonds. It is the third diamond.
Yep.
JR checks.
Yeah.
What else could you do?
It would be weird to do anything but check here. We're really hoping if it goes check, we got a shot.
We have a shot.
Like maybe he's got ace queen, maybe he's got ace 10. Who the hell knows?
All right. Should Stanley bet for value?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he should.
Yeah. How should he size it?
There's $23,400 in the pot. We want to get called by this hand and an ace queen. That's what we're targeting, right?
Yep.
Okay. I think we should, we have like almost no bluffs on the turn, and all the bluffs on the turn got there.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know if we should bet.
Maybe we can't bet. Jesus.
Now, I don't know what Stanley's thought process is here, but using our thought process so far from JR's perspective, if Stanley's raise on the turn was a free showdown play raise, then it would be really weird to bet now.
Especially the jack of diamonds.
Yeah, like, so ace king and ace queen should fold against another bet. If
absolutely.
If they were calling because it was for the free showdown play. Because that means either Stanley got there with the diamonds, or he could have gotten there with ace jack.
Yep, ace jack is also possible. And, of course, the made hands that are already strong remain strong.
Yeah.
Compared to our hand.
Yeah.
We're losing to everything now.
Right.
Is where we're at, right? Except the free showdown plays that would then decide to turn their hand into a bluff, which is cognitive dissonance.
Why would they do a free showdown play?
We should assume that's not happening until we have proof otherwise, right?
Yep.
So I think, as JR, we should be like, I have to check fold.
Yeah.
So then maybe you're right. If we can't get value out of ace king, then what the hell are we doing here? We can't bet.
I think there's a chance Stanley should check back when the diamond comes in here.
Yeah. The only hand we can obviously get value out of, I think, is ace deuce.
Yeah.
Which is really the same as ace king, but probably is too good to fold.
Maybe. Maybe ace king is too good to fold anyway, and that's a reason to bet. I don't know.
I mean, people struggle folding hands.
They do.
You know?
Stanley bets. He bets 9K.
Okay.
I get it in the moment.
9K is also like, you can throw it in there, ace queen. It's not too bad. You're getting a good price. Of course, I mean, again, he has no bluffs. There's no bluffs left. Okay.
I mean, I make value bets on the river constantly against players who I think are not very good.
Yeah.
In spots where it's like, my line doesn't make sense
for
you to ever call with a weaker hand than mine. But
doesn't
matter. You're going to. Yeah.
Right. No, if they're going to, who cares?
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know enough about JR to say if he's going to call with this hand or not. I know he's down $238,000 in those five sessions that when they stopped tracking it in June of 2022. That's all I know about him, really. So I can't say if he's calling or not. I think it's reasonable to check back this river, but I don't hate the idea of a bet unless we're at this level of analysis in the moment, then of course. If we think he's capable of it or we're capable of it, we should probably just check back.
Yep. Well, Stanley bets 9K and JR, he's got the ace of diamonds in his hand.
Yeah.
He's going to raise to 26K. He does the old I block the nuts play.
Yeah. This is so much better than calling. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, JR figures out that he's definitely losing when Stanley bets again.
Yeah.
So that's a good start. And then he blocks the nuts. And so if you're ever going to turn a hand, this is like, it's so hard to get here with the nut blocker, right?
He not only does he have the nut blocker, but it's really hard to imagine Stanley's diamond combos except for the
4-5.
4-5, 3-5, and 3-4 potentially, which are all not comfortable against a raise, by the way.
Maybe they call. They're really supposed to call. Flushes are supposed to bet call these things unless you know your opponent perfectly, essentially.
Right.
But I mean, when someone actually does this raise, what hand do they have? They always have a flush.
I also think that JR's line is perfectly good enough to represent nut diamonds. I think he could play nut diamonds this
Let's think about that for a second. On the river, if he makes the nut diamonds, does he really think he's going to be able to get a bet out of his opponent that often?
I mean,
the diamonds is sort of a scary card.
You have to weigh that question against how incredibly strong it looks if he just leads.
It does look strong.
You got raised on the turn.
Yep. Like, what's the worst hand here? I guess you could lead ace-jack, trying to get called by ace-eight and ace-six sometimes. Yeah. But that's the worst hand you're leading, right?
Yeah.
The absolute worst, and probably mostly it's diamonds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because maybe you don't even call ace-jack on the turn, actually, now I think about it.
Yeah, you probably don't.
You may not even bet it, but you certainly don't call it. Okay, so, geez. So, yeah, it does look like diamonds, exactly. It looks like diamonds either way, but this way you guarantee. Well, you don't guarantee.
No, but you have,
you have to make sure the guy bets, though. The problem is the guy has to bet.
I think JR believes there's a better chance of the guy betting than getting, if he had the nut diamonds, is what he's saying.
I understand that. I understand that story. But the other story that makes more sense to me is the actual thing that's happening, which is JR checks, hoping he goes check, check, think he can win. And then when the guy bets, he's like, oh, I can't win. And looky, looky, I got a cookie. It's the ace of diamonds, right? And so now I have to either fold or raise, and folding's boring. Right.
Yeah.
I think people mostly lead their flushes on the river in these spots because they're so afraid of getting checked back. Not always, of course.
Well, if we give JR a little bit of credit and give him a semblance of balance, then we can believe the story a little bit.
Sure.
And I think it's a better play than calling, like you said.
It has to be.
And I think it's a better play than folding, probably, too, when we have the ace of diamonds.
Yeah.
I think we're supposed to go for it.
I think we are, too. Like, Stanley mostly has sets and two pairs,
and
right?
And at best, he has the five high flush.
Right.
Which, like you said, is probably supposed to call, but that doesn't mean they're going to call. It's not a good spot for the 5-5 flush. You don't feel great about it.
I mean, we don't know Stanley. Maybe he can actually have king-queen of diamonds himself, where he flops two back doors on the flop.
Maybe.
He's like, I call for 900, and then he turns the diamond draw, and he raises, and he gets there on the river. So, okay, then it's not going to work this time.
Yeah.
It's okay if it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to work that often, right? If we raise here, and we take down the pot a reasonable amount of the time, it's fine. We should be able to do that, assuming this guy's capable of folding, because some guys aren't.
Yep. I like the play from JR.
Me too.
I'm going to leave it with that. I think it's a good play.
I think it's a cool, good play.
And as Stanley, you're in the blender now. This is part of why betting A6 was not the best on the river, right?
Right.
Because this could happen, and now, like, what the hell can you do?
This sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, we may have been, I guess we were in true game theory disaster mode with our bet now.
Yeah.
Or maybe not true. Maybe ace deuce actually does call.
Unless we call, then it's game theory fucking miracle.
But
then
like,
we made a ton of money.
That's true. That's actually a great point. If we call, it's beautiful. But like, this bet is bad when we bet and JR is like, oh yeah, ace king's clearly no good. So I can't call.
Yeah.
So now that makes this bet clearly not good.
Yep. Okay. I agree. And can you consider calling us, Stanley? I mean, this sucks.
We beat no value.
Of course.
What are we up against? It's like only flushes for the check raise?
Is it only the nut flush?
Maybe the king high flush.
Maybe the king high flush, but...
Maybe.
Not clear.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when we bet 40% of the pot, the king high flush may just feel like it has to raise. Maybe like, you know, once in a while I get three bet and life sucks, but...
Under the assumption that JR is betting the king high diamonds on the flop, which maybe he is because of the sizing he chose.
Maybe. Maybe. But it's a parlay to get here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so we can only beat a bluff. So we have to ask ourselves, how often are we up against a bluff and how often are we up against the value? Well, the value, as we're saying, is really only, we think, like king high, maybe, and definitely, obviously, the nuts.
Yeah.
Those hands make some sense, though. There aren't that many combos. Well, no, actually, maybe Jared can open all combos of ace.
I mean,
ace,
it's diamonds, a really deep, it's a really deep game.
Yeah. And he's definitely calling the turn once we raise with that.
Yeah.
And then he can check raise the river. Actually, that's a lot of combos of the nuts. Fuck. There aren't that many combos of the king X.
He might check some of those on the flop. That would be the only bugaboo in that.
Maybe. But maybe not when Mike's in the hand and four players. Maybe just bets once. And it's hard to know. But maybe like ace three of diamonds, he's checking. It's not
maybe
crazy.
Maybe not because of the depth of the game and that hand has top pair and two back doors.
Yeah.
Maybe you just want to like sort of build a pot in case things go well.
Yeah. Not impossible. So, okay, so he can definitely have that, and he's going to check raise that some of the time.
Yeah.
Okay, what does he have as a bluff? It's kind of like this hand.
This hand and ace-queen with the ace of diamonds.
And he has to be capable of actually making this play.
Yeah.
Garrett's obviously capable of making this play. Against Garrett, I think we have to call a lot more. Against this guy, I don't know.
We have to figure out where we are in our distribution before we decide if we can call with this
hand.
Okay,
but we have to call in general a lot more. We have to call with more bluff catchers against Garrett than we do against JR, as far as I know.
So where do we fit in our distribution as Stanley? I think we can say with confidence that we would play sets like this a decent amount of the time because we played A6 like this.
I think the only hand which is worse than this, there's two hands which are worse than this, ace-deuce and 8-6. And we probably are raising both of those on the turn, I would think, because they're almost always good.
Right. Blocking a set of aces doesn't matter for our distribution because I don't think JR is ever playing a set of aces this way.
Strong agree.
Obviously, diamonds are better than this hand.
No question. Having a set is better than A6. Having a set of eights has got to be better. We don't really ever have a set of eights, do we?
No.
Probably not. So we'd rather have, would we rather have deuces or A6? I guess we'd rather have A6. We block a little more stuff. But again, it doesn't matter.
We
it
don't.
Doesn't matter because he's never taken
not,
the line
it's
with
not
a set.
Meaningful blockers. Okay.
So none of it matters.
So we just go based on pure hand strength. So
we never have a diamond in our one diamond in our hand.
This is not a blocker distribution situation. This is a pure hand strength distribution situation.
So this is one of the worst hands we're going to raise the turn with and bet the river with.
Right.
Maybe the very worst because we were like, should we even bet?
Yeah. I mean, if we somehow had a hand that had a diamond in it as a blocker, but I don't see how that's... I mean, I guess the set of deuces with a diamond in it is the best bluff catcher.
I mean, look... 4 or 5 of diamonds is the best bluff catcher because that's still catching bluffs.
It
at
is.
This point.
Yeah.
Like, so and we have a few flushes.
And it blocks ace-4 and ace-5 of diamonds. Yeah.
Those seem like obvious bluff catchers, but fine. Those are easy. Of course we're calling those. Like, and you can see basically on this one anyway, based on our hand, that like we have so many, we have so few diamond combinations that are strong. We just have to call with all our flushes here.
Yeah.
Like, there's no question. But man, we probably have to call with some of our sets too because we just don't have enough diamonds to call with against... Against the GTO player anyway.
So then we can fold ace deuce.
Yeah.
And I guess this one's the next one, and we probably fold it too?
Because we've got sets of deuces, sets of sixes, ace eight are all clearly better.
Yeah.
Ace jack is better.
Yeah.
So I think we have to fold this.
Yep.
If we can have ace jack. I don't know if we actually raise ace jack on the turn. We may not. We probably don't.
If we have the free showdown play and
ace
jack. Right. Yeah.
So that's questionable.
Yeah.
But ace deuce, ace eight, pocket deuces... Pocket sixes.
Diamonds.
Maybe even once in a while pocket eights since it was only 900 on the flop. I don't know how sticky we are. There's two
possibly.
Players behind us. It's questionable, but some of these guys make that call.
It makes more sense with the line that he took.
Yep.
Turning the set.
That's why, yeah, ace eight, pocket eight, 6-8 suited, or 6-8, 6-8 suited make the most sense to me.
Yeah.
Even though he somehow has ace six. But the point is, we have better hands than this. We're supposed to fold.
Yep. That's what Stanley does.
Yeah.
To his chagrin, because he would have made a lot of money.
So that bet on the river really messed him up, man.
It did. And it was a cool play by JR. Like, that's a play that's like, at this point, if you play poker very seriously, you can see that play. It's a very obvious play, but it's still hard to pull the trigger.
It's interesting, too, because if Stanley doesn't raise the turn, what does JR do on the Jack of Diamonds river? I think he probably bets again, trying to get, like, thin value out of, like, ace, queen, and ace, 10, right? He's going to fold to a raise and
yeah,
just
then,
bet.
And then Stanley just calls and wins mostly.
Stanley calls and wins, yeah. Or once in a while he checks, and we probably bet for value and hope he doesn't raise us.
Yeah.
I don't know what JR does
he
then.
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe then he does raise us, though.
Maybe, but maybe he thinks we can have ace-queen sometimes and just call. It's unclear. This is very interesting. But Stanley's defined his hand so much, there just aren't that many diamond combos.
Yeah. Interesting.
Obviously, once we have the ace of diamonds in our hand, it's easier, too.
Well, this happened, I think, after June, so JR is doing a little better at the point that this hand was recorded.
This is a cool hand.
This
is a nice play.
Yeah, it is. Cool.
All right.
Bye-bye. Music is my sunlight, and all I need is one mic, and I can show every single MC how it's done right. Every time I come by, I'm bound to leave them tongue-tied. I'm sipping on liquor, a quitter is what I'm not. We got one life, and I took a minor break, but I'm back to claim the throne. I'm gonna be traveling the globe, we still have time to make it.